The Holy Gospel according to St. John. After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am not asking on their behalf. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on the behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you,
O Christ.
Amen. How wonderful and awesome is our God, who has given us power and strength, for today we are witnesses of such a gift through the washing of baptism. In every water to which we and all those before us and after us will be washed, God completes this promise: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. Jalen and Bailey, you are witnesses. You have received the Spirit. You are joining us in experiencing this powerful gift of God. Because all of us here know what St. Peter says about baptism, that it is an appeal to God for a good conscience. In other words, appeal is prayer. We pray, all of us. You both were lifted in prayer as we washed you, and you were anointed and sealed with the Holy Spirit. But certainly that's not the only one who was praying in this baptism today. It's Jesus himself. Can you listen to Jesus pray as you remember your baptism? We hear today in the gospel that as Jesus is praying for his folks at the Last Supper, he's really showing to us the deep abiding gift that comes from God, the gift of life with him. And I wonder if for a second you can join with me in hearing how that gift is pronounced by Jesus through his prayer. He says it like this: I am asking on our behalf, of those whom you gave me because they are yours. Second, protect them in your name so that they may be one as we are one. Sanctify them. Sanctify us, God, in the truth. Your word is truth. In other words, whether we are washing or being washed, we are feeding or being fed, we are struggling or thriving, we no longer live as if what we have just done and what we have just read have no power at all. Our lives are now prayer. Our lives are now prayer because Jesus is for us and still prays on our behalf. Your lives are God's response to Jesus' prayers. And I don't mind being at fault for having a high estimation of prayer, especially as we hear how prayer is being misaligned with inaction or trite condolences. And we hear this explicitly or implicitly as we look and experience the same cycles of gun violence or of rising transphobia, or perhaps the somewhat pending recession, Lord knows if it shall come. Within all of this, there is fear, a deep abiding fear that doesn't allow us to really experience the gifts of prayer. It's a fear, siblings, that is expressed this way. We cannot live with those unlike us because we are afraid how much we are going to be stretched, emotionally stretched, even capital expenses, beyond what we are accustomed to. Yes, siblings, we have received the power of God in baptism, but there are times in which we wonder, can I consider any measure of my life a response to anything but fear? So let's listen now to how Jesus prays, especially as he acknowledges where we are right now in this space. When he says he's no longer in this world, but they, the disciples, are in the world. Jesus always has us in mind when he prays, because Jesus understood that after his death and resurrection and ascension, his disciples and us would only be able to live by the recordings of stories told, actions done, memories that were in the minds of the first disciples, feasting and feeding, washing and teaching. All of these stories would have to compete with the very real existence of fear and hatred, joys and promises and expectations. In all their existences, Jesus lifts a challenging petition for his disciples, and truly for us. He says it like this: I have been glorified in them. I have been glorified in them. How is that so? If Jesus is no longer in the world and every day I face the challenges of this present hour just as I am, how is Jesus glorified in me? How is my life a petition in the prayers of our great high priest? Prayer, siblings, I would say before we even utter any phrase, before we even take one conscious look at our lives, begins with God. God is the one who prays. Because prayer isn't just simply what we say, but that we abide in God. We hear this when Jesus prays this petition: I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. What he's doing is he is assuring that before anything we as disciples do, we belong to God and to one another. That each of us, those whom God continues to desire to place within your hearts his very self, his very life, his very flavor, each and every one of you carry God. No matter where you are, whether you're a skeptic or a sinner, a saint or newly baptized, so that we no longer live as if highways or geography, class or culture, ethnicity or language divides us from who we are in God and how God prays for us. And I'm reminded of this particular lesson because this past weekend we were at the Synod Assembly. Our synod voted to become a Reconciling in Christ synod. And it was during one of our discussion sessions that I had the pleasure of talking with a good friend of mine, Kathy Patrick. She's the president of the board of Wartburg Seminary. And she said this thing about what I've been talking to you about, that prayer first is us belonging to God. She says it's not enough for us to say that we are welcomed in God, or that we welcome, because that still implies a power relationship, as if we have all the answers. We belong together. We belong in God. For that implies that we are one. It's not enough to say that we are welcoming. We ought to say that we belong with each other, with our bodies and our homes, as wonderful as they are, or as broken as our homes are, or as fantastic as our cultures may be, or as complex as they exist today. We belong together. How would, if you would care, indulge me, would our various stations in life appear if, rather than asking who is at the table, we decide to leave the table behind and go and join other mesas, other tables, have fun at other feasts and other families? How would we be defined then? For we know that you are God's response to Jesus' prayers. And it is a prayer that is focused on where we pray and who we pray with. Now, knowing that this is what prayer is, that we first belong to God, now we can say and ask, what should we be praying for? So let's listen to what Jesus has to tell us. Again, let's listen to him pray. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you have given me, I have given them. Simple thing. You all know exactly what you should be praying for. You don't need to look to us ministers for these words. You have the Spirit, do you not? The Spirit that Jalen and Bailey received in baptism? Do you not remember what Jesus said about the Spirit? That she will remind you of everything that Jesus said to you. For in you there is the Spirit, the power and the strength of God to awaken in your own mind Jesus' death and resurrection on behalf of the poor and the oppressed. You have in your own memory what Jesus said about the kind of life we ought to abide in together. This is abundant life, that we may all know God and Jesus, the one whom God sent. For we know that deep inside our hearts, deeper than any fear, more profound than any wound, is the joy divine, the Holy Spirit. That even as the pages of our history are stained with racism, violence, and loss, God is writing upon all of you the completion of an appeal for a good conscience, the assurance of your baptismal hope. How will you pray? How will you speak power and truth for the poor, the oppressed, marginalized, and wounded? The how doesn't really depend on how best we can do this. It does not rest on our own powers. Rather, it rests entirely on tables far beyond our own, in languages unlike our own. A rabbi and his disciples simply washing and dining and crying, dreaming and praying together. Amen.